Hey, legends, you know, none of our interviews or episodes ever date, ever. They are all timeless and ready for you for when you're ready to listen. Download the lot and rip in. The following is rated MA. Some people may find it offensive. It contains language, adult themes, and immature content, as well as fart jokes. There will be lots of fart jokes. Listener discretion is advised. You've been warned. The Weekly Wodge, and I've got to start with a massive thank you to you legends for your support and your comments. The Wodge has taken off big time. We know you want to hear from the stars of the game. We're about interviews, not opinions. And that's exactly what we're providing and will continue to do so. And this week's episode is no exception. Six internationals, Origin stars and established first graders, both current and former, are lined up and ready to rip in this week. Let's ride. Not many blokes can say they debuted in front of 52,000 fans at Suncorp Stadium. That is such a cool stat, but that's exactly what Jai Arrow did almost 5 years ago to this day. It was round 10, 2016, Brisbane and Manly as a part of a doubleheader. What do you recall of the day, mate?
A lot, I guess. I suppose it's the one you remember. And walking into the sheds, you're very nervous, and actually Jimmy Roberts come up to me and had a laugh, which calmed me down a lot. So, you're seeing your jersey there with your name, your play number and all that. It's a pretty amazing feeling and something that I'll never forget. And then running out to 52,000, majority were Broncos fans, obviously being in Brisbane, definitely helped. But it was our away game, which made it a bit weird. So we're in the away sheds, but we were playing in Brisbane and Manly were the home team. So, obviously a special moment for myself and my family and it's always the one you remember.
Mate, you started from the bench. Do you remember what jersey number you were?
15, yeah, number 15, I remember. Still, I haven't got framed yet. It's one jersey I have to get framed. I've got it in my closet ready to go with my debut Origin jersey. So I've got them two ready to go to get framed. But actually, I've never framed one of my jerseys before, so I think those two are the first I've got to get done.
That'd look amazing on the wall too. Also amazing, that was 5 years ago, but from that Broncos side, only Corey Oates and Anthony Milford are still there. Talk about player turnover, that's huge.
Yeah, massively. You obviously just said it, Milford and Oatesy are the only ones still up there, and I look back to that team, and it was a pretty handy and quality side at the time. Yeah. They were pretty stacked, and it's pretty crazy to think only 5 years ago that there's only two, three players left at that club, which is kind of weird when you think about it.
Brisbane won 30-6. Jai Arrow's career off to a perfect start. I'll give you a moment in time. One Storm fans can't forget. One Dragons fans just don't want to remember. The date was March 3, 2000. The season had actually started early to accommodate the Sydney Olympics. The Melbourne Storm were the defending premiers, having beaten St George Illawarra in the previous year's grand final. So this match had some genuine build-up. It was played at the MCG, massive crowd, and no one saw this coming. It was a flogging in favour of the Storm. Robbie Kearns captained the club that game. What stands out, mate?
Well, as you said, the previous year we'd beaten the St George Illawarra Dragons in the grand final. But in the lead-up to that game, the first game of the finals was down here at Olympic Park, and they beat us something like 30-0.
Yep.
On our home turf. So, sure enough, history shows that Dragons most probably should have won that grand final in 99, and we got lucky, but you take your luck. And so all in the off-season, during the off-season, obviously Chuck Mundine, who's a fantastic fella, by the way, you've had a lot to do with him, get a lot of people ask me the question, what's that Chuck Mundine like? Sure, he's an arsehole. I said, no, you got it all wrong.
Yep.
He's a champion fella, lovely guy. And, you know, if I saw him tomorrow, I'd give him a hug. But he was talking it up all off-season that the Melbourne Storm got lucky. They flipped that win. They should never have won it. We're the real premiers. We need the silverware now. And our clubhouse, not theirs. And there's a lot of hype surrounding that game. And Chris Anderson, being Chris Anderson, just said, boys, let's go out there and bash them.
Yep.
And that's exactly what we did. We went out there, when I say bash them, no fisticuffs, but went out and played a hard brand of football. Kamali was on song because, you know, he'd been, you know, killing it the last couple of years. Obviously, 99 season was outstanding.
Yeah.
But Scotty Hill had another big game. And, it just happened. It just everything we touched that night turned to gold. And do you remember young Tecesa Lavia?
Yeah, played a great game at six, didn't he?
He did. Scotty Hill was playing lock forward, I think, or Tawera might have been. Not too sure what Scotty Hill was playing. But anyway, Tecesa Lavia one year there, got Rookie of the Year, but yep. He was on fire that game. And I it just seemed like we were playing with two extra players, and the Dragons were like without two players, and everywhere we went, we scored points. And I remember talking to Chuck after the game. I got a photo of it in the scrapbook, and we're sitting there having a massive laugh with each other. He came up and said, "Ace, sorry, Bobby, it's all talk. And I said, "Mate, it's all good, brother."
It's all good because we just beat you 70 points today, a magical day for the Melbourne Storm. A cracking Legend Series interview this week, the great Chris Lawrence. Awesome fella, awesome story too.
Basically, what the surgeons, it just imploded, my face imploded. Basically, it got me at the weakest point, the sort of hardest point of his head, got the weakest point of my face. And it was essentially that. And I knew I was injured. I'm like, hit the ground. I was like, oh, okay, oh, it's my, but I didn't realize how bad. And I thought it was just my jaw. Then I could feel my cheek. Then I felt my nose and my eye. And so then I just felt everything caved in. So it was as sort of I sat there, I sort of felt everything. And
what were the injuries? Can you recall all of them?
Well, pretty much every bone in my face. So it was 12 different fractures, straight all the way from the eye socket down the cheekbone and jaw on both sides, across the nose, both eye sockets, the front jaw, you know, or the palate. And the only thing that wasn't was the bottom jaw. That's probably the only thing that wasn't broken.
The Legend Series, I love it. I hope you do too. At any time, you can go back and listen to a Legend Series interview. Actually, any of our podcasts, all of them are timeless, so it doesn't matter when you listen to them. Even though you may not have heard them when they first came out, they're timeless. They're ready for you for when you're ready. Back row and centre, what is the difference? Whatever the gap is between the two positions, it's closing. Now, for those that are old enough, try and imagine Steve Rogers or Mick Cronin playing in the scrum, or Fatty Vorton or Paul Sirenin in the centres. It just wouldn't have worked. Luke Lewis has dropped in. You play both positions and both with great success. As the game changes, position changes. Centre and back row, what are the differences in 2021, mate?
Oh, yeah, well, it's movement-wise and on the edge in defence isn't too much different. I think, look, in the centre, I suppose you're not as busy. I'll probably call it a lazy position at the moment.
Yep.
You know, you don't go in and get as many carries. You've got to make sure, you know, you're staying out wide, you're holding a bit of shape. And you know, defensively, you've got to probably be one of the best talkers. You've got to be able to talk from outside in. So, Whereas, I suppose, an edge back row, you've got to be a real good talker, but at the same time, you've got to be on the ball. You've got to be trying to get some carries, get your meters up, you know, be down the other end, making sure you're doing your job as well when you're attacking the line. But, you know, it doesn't really change that much. I think as a centre, when you're in the defensive line, it's probably the only difference. You've got to make a lot more one-on-one tackle, and you've got a few real clutch decisions to make. But as an edge back row, you still got to be the leader of your edge. You've got to get off your line. You've got to make the defence right. And you've got to make sure you get everyone on the same page and you're doing the same thing. So, yeah, look, it's a good question because I think it is very similar when it comes to defence and when it comes to attack down in Goodport, it is very similar. But I think probably now centre's a lot more of a lazy position. Yeah. I think the wingers now, then you hit up forward and you sort of slide out and you don't do as much work.
You started your career as a winger. Hasn't the role of a winger changed dramatically, even in that 19 years since or 20 years since you debuted? I mean, they now have to be first back for hit up one and two every single set.
Yeah, well, there's so many different things, right? They've got to be back there for the kick. They've got to make sure they ain't get the 40-20. They've got to catch everything on the full. Then they've got to do, yeah, probably, as you say, plus 12 hit ups. They've got to try and get up over 100 plus meters, to really help out your forwards. Then they've got to be in the kick chase line. But then they've got to make the right reads in defense. And then they've got all the bomb defusals that when they've got a whole heap of people coming at them, trying to bash them. They've got a lot on their plate. But, mate, the amount of work that the wingers have got to do today is huge. So, there's some great wingers out there. But you got to remember, too, the way these wingers are finishing the tries.
Oh, yeah.
That's a real skill, and they've got to practice and work on it. So, mate, they've got a lot to do out there.
Size is the one big thing, and you're a really good example because you're a big, big fella. You don't particularly look it on the field, but up close you're a monster of a bloke. But the size of the wingers and centres in 2021, in some cases, the centres and wingers are actually bigger than the front and back rowers.
Mate, it's ridiculous. Actually, it's funny you say that. I know we might go off subject here, but I went down and watched the SG ball players play last Saturday, and they had these wingers and centres and back rowers. Mate, they were massive. I couldn't get my head around how big they were. They were like, probably a foot taller than me. They were wider. They'll fit. These guys are just real athletes, man. They're coming through. And the guys that you talk about, the NRL, they got speed.
Yeah.
They're strong. They're massive. I don't know what else to say about them. But, mate, every year they're just getting better and better and better. So, look, it's pretty scary to think that the game's gotten faster and these players are getting bigger and fitter and stronger. So, mate, I don't know where the game's going to be in a couple of years, but it's scary thoughts.
2 years into retirement, old mate. How's your body now?
Hey, it's funny. I actually feel better now than I did when I was playing. Look, I'm not getting bashed up as much, but I still train every day. I try and keep myself super fit. And, I'm enjoying life at the moment. I appreciate the opportunities I've had, but I'm very lucky to be back down at the Sharks at the moment and still get that team environment.
Catch you soon, Louis Lou.
Thanks, Andy. I appreciate it, brother.
Want to know what's coming up on the podcast? Well, stalk us on social media. We're on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at The Andy Raymond. Share the love and share the posts. Speaking of social media, I asked this question earlier in the week. Who wins the following hypothetical games? Take the new coaches of the sides this season and play the club's 2020 team against the 2021 team. See if the club's gone backwards, stayed the same, or improved. My take was this. Broncos, 21 side wins. Cowboys, 21 side wins. Dragons, draw. Warriors, 21 side wins. Golden Point, perhaps. Sharks, 2020 side wins. Bulldogs, 2020 side wins. Had some really cool responses from you guys on Facebook. Time to share some. I think we need some music to help here. Not that much. Yeah, a little more. Sounds about right. Okay. Scotty Boniface said, my doggies are definitely worse, but with better players, apparently. They aren't responding to Barrett. Not happy. Louis Abigail, another dog's tragic, I assume. He said, the dogs are terrible, definitely worse than 2021. And to think Barrett, the myth, took the credit for the Panthers' improved attack. Chris Todd said, although we still aren't getting the results, I can see improvement in the Broncos. Warriors are a tough one with what they've had to deal with. Their effort and commitment has been outstanding. Their fans must be so proud. I am, and I'm not even a fan. Sharks are a mess. Not sure whether Fitzgibbon can fix it or not. The team that gets Reynolds should be the big improver. We now know that's the Broncos. He went on to say, the dogs are a shambles, but always seem to try hard, just don't have the cattle. Burton will help, but going to need more than that. Dragons unpredictable, and I hate the Cowboys, lol. And Stevie Pollock said, Warriors will keep improving. Broncos are an improvement. How far, I guess time will tell. Bulldogs have got absolutely nothing. I like Trent, though. Sharks have been totally embarrassed and demoralised by their board. Cowboys will improve. in my opinion, but I'm just a weekend fan. And that's exactly what I was after, the fans' perspective. Make no mistake, the best thing rugby league has got going for it is you guys, the fans, 100%. Thanks for your contribution, legends. We'll do this more often. We'll give you guys a voice. You're listening to Andy Raymond Unfiltered. Want to be part of the team? We have both corporate and private sponsorship packages available. You set the terms. Check out the website at andyraymondunfiltered.com.au or send an email to Terry, that's with an I, at andyraymondunfiltered.com.au. We'd done up a cool little blast podcast for last weekend for Mother's Day, actually. Seagulls versus Warriors. Curtis Sirenin versus Bailey Sirenin. But one of the brothers decided to go get injured and couldn't play, so we didn't run the podcast. Then I got to thinking, stuff it. It's a great little insight, so why not? So this is what Unfiltered was going to run last weekend. We're running it now. It's a podcast inserted into the middle of another podcast. So in a world first, perhaps, probably not. Let's rip in. This is Andy Raymond Unfiltered, The Blast. We hope you're enjoying the podcast. The different guests, the different topics, stories, opinions and superstars. Next weekend, the Warriors play the Seagulls. And for Paul and Leanne Sirenin, it'll be a proud weekend, but one of conflict as well. Their sons Curtis and Bailey will play against each other. Not for the first time. Curtis joins us first. Is it special playing against the brother?
Yeah, mate, it is pretty special. It's a bit weird. It's a bit surreal when you run out and you know, you're waiting for them to kick off or vice versa, and your younger brother's sort of standing 20 meters away in a different coloured jersey. It's pretty odd. Once a whistle goes and you both have a run and tackle each other, it's sort of just business. But it's more the build up and, you know, the week. You know, we have a bit of banter and
nice.
You know, we're really close, Bailey and I. So we you know, we speak most days and it's a pretty special sort of feeling.
Am I right in saying you've played each other at senior level twice and he's 2-0 on you?
Yeah, thanks for mentioning that, mate. he's got the wood on me currently. Both times at South. Well, the first time, mate, they beat us 19-18, I think.
Oh,
or
no!
5 point. Yeah, but the second time was about 60-6, so... I think they gave us an absolute shellacking last year, but there's always time for a comeback, mate. So
of course there is. Of course there is.
I'm looking forward to it,
mate. Are there any cheap shots just for shits and giggles or a bit of fun?
Not really, mate. We've got a funny photo that we've got from that game. I think he made like a bit of a half line break and he sort of tripped over, and I've come across and it looks like I'm absolutely trying to take his head off, but. the photo makes it look worse than it is, but no, we're not really like that, mate. We're both a little bit fragile too. We've had a couple of injuries. We're just trying to fucking stay fit and healthy, mate, and play as much as we can.
Mate, you're the older brother, the bigger brother. Any stinks in the backyard of note we should know about? Any times you've toweled him up?
Plenty. That's my claim to fame. If he's got me 2-0 on the footy field, he's about 100-0 in the backyard. So. But he'd always just scream out early and then fucking the cavalry would come from upstairs, Big Paulo, he'd come flying down and sort me out. So good times, mate. Good memories. But yeah, it's on this weekend.
To balance the discussion, Bailey Sirenin has lobbed a mate. You are my favourite Sirenin, no doubt. Playing against Big Brother. Do you enjoy it?
Love it, mate. Yeah, it was awesome. You know, it was about 1,000-0 coming into 2020, and then got one up on him, and then obviously played him again, and 2-0 now. So, stoked.
Curtis was telling us about the backyard footy and Stinks. He reckons he got it over you. Is he telling us the truth?
Yeah, he is, unfortunately. Yeah, I know. I wish I could say something else, but look, he put it over me, but then Dad got it over him. So
he was telling us if there was an issue, Big Paulo would come down the stairs and it was on.
He'd come. Yeah, I'd never seen him move faster, mate. He was sprinting down there. And whatever he was holding it, we'd feel it across the backside. So
a wonderful last 18 months of footy, mate. What's been the change?
Just confidence, really, for me. Yep. You know, Wayne sort of gave me an opportunity to cement my spot in that team, and then from there I just sort of built on it with good combinations with fellow players, and then that sort of led to me coming to the Warriors now.
Injury free, you had a shit run and an unlucky run as a young fella. How's the body feel?
Yeah, look, a lot better. You know, touch wood, I've gotten those injuries out of the way now, and, you know, I'm fighting fit and ready to go. So,
what's the goal for 2021? Is it about consistency?
Yeah, I'd love to play every game.
Yep.
You know, that'd be massive for me. That's a big goal. You know, whether that's coming off the bench or, you know, in a starting role, it doesn't really faze me. I just want to build on what I did last year and try to cement my spot as a regular first grader.
Played a lot of positions as a young bloke, and you can still play a lot of positions now. Where do you reckon your future is?
Look, I like my role as a middle, playing as that 13. I think that's the way the game's going for people that are similar shape to me. You know, you see your Cam Murrays and your Victor Radleys there. They're not the biggest guys, but they got the ability to move the ball, and I feel like that suits me. You know, I played a lot of back row last year, and I did enjoy that, but I feel like probably that 13 role's my go.
Any special treatment for brother when you play, or do you ignore him? Does he ignore you? How does it go?
I think the first time I played against him, he sort of tried to look after me.
Is that right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. But then the second time, you know, yeah, none of that was happening. He was trying to get into me, but, you know, the scoreline sort of lent my way. So, nah, nothing. I'm too worried about doing my own job than to worry about him.
Who does mum and dad cheer for? Will they be cheering Warriors or will they be cheering Seagulls?
That's a tough one. I'm not too. Oh, it probably depends where we sit on the ladder.
Yeah.
I know mum at our last game, she had a Manly and a South scarf on, so I'd have to try and get her a few Warriors merchandise.
Thanks to both boys. Both good sports. Good luck on the weekend, mate.
Thank you. Cheers.
So there it is, the Sirenan boys, great young men they've turned into. Now, if you saw our social media promotion of this episode, you would have noticed the 20-year-old kids photo attached of Curtis and Bailey. I don't reckon Bailey will mind that much, but I think that I may get a message from an unhappy Curtis. All I'd like to say is thank you to their mother, Leanne, for the photo, and to their father, Paul, for offering to act as a calming influence when Curtis wants to bash me for using that photo. He's 193 centimetres, 105 kilos, and I don't want any of that. Free tests for Australia in 2009, free tests for Ireland in 2013. Brett White, how important to you, having represented both Tier 1 and emerging countries, is the growth of international footy?
Mate, that's really where the game's got to go, I think.
Yep.
The international, the smaller nations, you know, getting them up. And we've seen the growth of Tonga in the last couple of years and how good that's been for rugby league. You know, it'd be great to get those other nations up around that. And then the Celtic nations as well. You know, for the Super League, I'd love to see, you know, even a team of, you know, the joint Ireland, Scotland, Wales all together, maybe bringing a team like that together into the Super League would be massive for our growth of our game and to develop those countries into a true, I guess, international game.
Where's the family lineage to gain the Irish jersey that you did?
Mate, so my grandfather was come over from Ireland. He actually come over in the 50s for the snowy scheme. Okay. Which is a big thing that happened up in up around the high country where I'm from. So he came across and he was always a proud Irishman, and I was really close to him growing up. So obviously always wanted to do something in his honour, And that was my opportunity to play in that jumper for him.
Pretty cool to actually do it.
It was fantastic. It was some of the most enjoyable times playing football, being in that World Cup. You spend about 6 weeks together with a bunch of Irishmen. It was fantastic, mate. They certainly know how to have a good time. I remember we played Ireland against Ireland in Limerick in Ireland. And, mate, obviously knew we probably weren't going to compete with Australia, but we certainly had a great time. There were songs being sung on the way to the game, which is, quite emotional when you're singing Irish, songs. And we enjoyed every moment of it. And, some of the wonderful memories from that World Cup. Really enjoyed it, and it really brought it really made me think about why we play the game is for that enjoyment, and then that's what it's all about. So yeah, it was great to do that.
Did you play with the great Irish international Wayne Kerr?
No, yeah. He played in I think he was in the 2008. I actually was going to play in that World Cup, but got ruled out with injury at the time. So missed out on playing with him, but I've heard plenty about him.
I reckon he's got the second best name in footy, and this isn't a G-up. The winner, the current member of the Brazilian national squad, his name is Thales Fuckner. I'm serious. That is a cracking rugby league name.
Wow.
Okay, back to the grown-up stuff. New Zealand, Australia, England and Tonga are the top four ranked sides according to the IRL rankings. That hasn't changed much, but the gap between the fourth place side and the rest, that has changed. Everyone is slowly improving.
Yeah, it's great, and that's why we really need to see the importance in these tier two sides that, the clubs with letting players go back and play for those smaller nations. You look at PNG. If anyone's ever been over there to watch a game of football, it's something special. Countries like that to really get behind and make sure that the players are allowed access to go back and play for those countries. And there's so much pride when you go into those sort of camps. There's so much pride. About the heritage and why you play for that country and how much it means to people. So it's something certainly very special. And like I said, I was really lucky to be involved with one of those tier two nations that are so proud in their country.
This is the Weekly Wodge on Andy Raymond Unfiltered, and it's feature interview time. This is Andy Raymond Unfiltered, the Weekly Wodge, and dropping on in the most beautiful and lush head of hair in the game, bar none. I have massive hair envy of this fella, Kevy Proctor. How's things on the Gold Coast, brother?
Hey, Andy, how you going, brother? Everything's going good. So far, so good anyway. And we've got a tough assignment this weekend, but looking forward to it.
Mate, footy in the family. I recall a story that your uncle was Lindsay Proctor, who absolutely terrorised international sides in the 70s. Tough old bastard there, mate.
Yeah, he's still a grumpy old prick, but he was a really good player and someone I really looked up to. I caught up with him maybe 2019 on the Kiwis tour, and we stopped in there with all the Kiwi old boys, and he's still going good, still loves a beer.
Love it, mate. International football and stuff like that, where the younger players of nowadays catch up with the older guys, you hear the stories, you follow the tradition, you learn about the history. Wonderful initiative, and it seems that all countries are doing that now.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's awesome to see where the jersey started, and yeah. I suppose hearing their journeys and how they got to represent their country, and I suppose like going on tour back then was totally different to going on tour back like now. They had no money. They stayed in like little shacks, and just hearing some of those stories is. It's awesome, like hearing all the history in the background of the jersey and how hard they had to I suppose I don't know how Australia done it, but I know New Zealand didn't have as much money as the Australian team, and they really, I suppose, dug deep, and they were away for like maybe 2 months at a time, 2 or 3 months, and away from their families for a long time. So it's always good to hear those stories, and like all the boys take a lot out of them.
Mate, but the positive news is there were no camera phones and no bullshit back then, so you could misbehave without ending up on the front page of the newspaper. Mate, you and the family came over even before you returned from New Zealand to the Gold Coast. Was it for footy especially, or was it parents' work?
No, it was so I moved to WA first.
Okay.
And I moved over there because my dad got a coaching job at this rugby union club, and they just said they'll give him a job, and they'll give him like some work as well. So where we came from, New Zealand, there was no jobs and there was no work there. So he took a leap of faith for our family and went over there and seeked more work opportunities. And I was playing union growing up, so I played all my union. And Dad was pretty much my coach the whole year, my whole life. But went over there, we started playing a little bit of AFL and volleyball. Like as you do when you're a kid, you just you play as many sports as you can because you just love playing outdoors and off the iPads and all that stuff. But so I didn't move to the Gold Coast till I was. I think I was about 15.
Okay.
I moved to Brisbane first.
Yep.
And that's how I got into rugby league. It's because I couldn't find a rugby union club. So I went and played rugby league with one of my cousins. And after a couple of games, there was a Storm scout there, Peter O'Sullivan.
Yeah.
And then I was lucky enough, he was at one of the games. And he picked me up, sent me down to Palm Beach, Currumbin. He signed me up with the Storm, and I had the option of going to TSS or to PBC.
Wow.
Because I was playing both the rugby union and rugby league at the same time. So I was like, nah, that's an old boys school. Fuck that. I'm going to Palm Beach. And I remember going through like an orientation day and seeing all the birds there. And I was like, get me there now.
Yeah, that's unreal. So, mate, you'd end up at Palm Beach, Currumbin, and it may have been that year, the following year, into the Aussie schoolboys side, 06 and 07. That side was fucking stacked. Chris Lawrence, Mitch Pearce, Chris Sandow, Joel Thompson, Israel Folau, Aidan Tolman, Timmy Manor. Who was the gun? Who was the one that stood out in that schoolboys side?
There was so many great players in that team. Remember Shannon Walker, the fullback,
fastest man in the history of the world.
At school, and he was unreal. But obviously Izzy was a freak when he was younger.
Wow.
Chrissy Sandow was unreal. Mitch Pearce, but probably the standout was Shannon Walker. Like he was, he had the pace, he had the strength, and I don't know, just done some freaky things on the field back then. He's probably one that stood out for me, him and Israel.
So you ended up in Melbourne. You had a number of really successful years there. What separates Melbourne from the rest, mate? Why are they so damn good and every single year?
I think it's the guy at the top, you know, the top of the food chain, the old bellyache. He it's like a family down there, you know, because there's not really that many people from Melbourne, and the boys are so close as a group, and it's like a well-oiled machine down there. If you're not doing your job, you get flicked pretty quickly, and that's all they want from you. If there's someone that's injured, you come into the side, and you've got a role to play. You've got a job to do, and Craig just brings the best out of those players. Even the guys that have come from other clubs that are just fringe players, he just finds a way to get those guys up and about. And like I said, if you don't buy into their system down there, you're pretty easily out the back door straight away. So he's got so much respect down there, and I still catch up with him when he comes up to the Gold Coast. He's like a father figure to everyone down there. He's so well respected, and like he's so good at what he does. That's probably why they've been so successful the last 20 odd years.
Mate, so much is said about Melbourne's culture. They seem to be the benchmark. Are the Titans moving in the right direction in that way? It seems a more professional. It seems a more settled outfit. You've got the right people in the right positions off the field.
Yeah, I think we're moving in the right direction, especially compared to the last few years.
Yep,
it was a bit of a train wreck here for a couple of years, and no, I think we've got the right guys, like you said, in the right positions, and the club's just moving in the right direction as well. Signing the right players, and players actually want to come here and play for the club, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, we've got players that actually want to come to the club instead of just coming here to cash in on their paychecks, yeah, and bloody, just finish off their careers. They want to come to a club that's actually moving in the right direction. And
yep,
I think Justin and the coaching staff and Mal and everyone involved is doing a great job.
Dave and Tino, two very special young talents. Lots of pressure on those two young blokes. Do we as a game put too much pressure on these kids? I know they're earning bucket loads, and that's good and well, but they're still kids.
Yeah, I think he's handled it really well this year, David, because I suppose he had enormous wraps on him coming here with the pay packet that he came here with. And I think he's taken it with both arms, and he's been killing it. You know, he hasn't been reading into the social media too much. And I think these days that's where some of these young players can get lost, reading on all the comments and what other people think about how much they're getting paid or whatever it is. I think they look into that too much, some of the young guys, and it can really affect them, you know, socially and emotionally. But I've just tried to try and tell our younger guys that it doesn't really matter what anyone else thinks outside our bubble, your family, your friends and your teammates. Who cares what they think about it? It's what those guys think about you that you should care about. And if it's your own teammates or your family or your friends close to you commenting and saying that bad stuff about you, then you could probably take it to heart a bit more. But it doesn't really matter what anyone else says because it's irrelevant.
Big test this weekend, mate, the Penrith Panthers. It's always a pleasure, Kevvy Proctor. Thanks for the chat and good luck Sunday, legend.
Thank you, brother.
Are you subscribed to the podcast? Make sure you are, and make sure you're running the automatic downloads. Then the next episode drops automatically and immediately. You don't miss a thing. If you're enjoying Andy Raymond Unfiltered, please go to Apple, Spotify, or wherever you're listening and subscribe to the podcast and give us a 5-star rating and review. If you don't, I'll send my mother-in-law to your place for the weekend. And trust me, you don't want that. That's how easy it is to win. There's a winner every week. This week's winner is Ed Beatty, and his review went like this. I like Unfiltered. I like beer and palmies too. Colder the better, bigger the better, with as much topping as you could fit into Josh Papali's shorts. Keep up the big work, slap nuts. That's a beauty. Thank you, Ed. Thank you for the review and the 5 stars, champion. And for the complete randomness of your words. Yes. Proof it really doesn't matter what you write, as long as you do and give it the 5-star treatment while you're there. It really does help us. We really appreciate it too. Make your review stand out like Ed. You could win the cap. Possible topics this week, just off the top of my head. What's your second favourite language that you can't speak? Are bottles of Corona suited for a guy with large hands? Or perhaps if you just want to name and shame a mate of yours who's the worst punter you know. Just an idea. It's a good sledge, actually. Another week has disappeared. The older we get, the faster they go. Massive weekend of footy coming up. enjoy a beer, a burger and the games, and flick over to Ascot for the last race. Back Pikey and your weekend will be made. Catch you next week, legends.